Hello everyone, I'm Andrew Wagen. I work for Virtuoso and now I maintain the Creo development branch. Today I want to talk about a few topics. I want to start with a short summary of the last year for Creo, and then I want to talk about a serious issue for with Creo Predump. And then I want to talk about online migration for Docker containers, Kubernetes containers, actually about a few things what we need to remember when we want to migrate containers. In this year, we just implemented a few features. The first, actually, this list is not sorted, so we just. The first feature is Creo for mainframes. We just add support for S390. And this feature was implemented by IBM developers. And now we have support for this architecture. The next feature is support for X32 compatible mode. It's when we just run process. X32-bit process on X64-bit kernel. And this feature was implemented by Virtuoso developers because we have customers who run X32-bit containers on our kernel, so we just support for such process. The next big feature, which will be merged probably to the next Creo release, it's lazy restore or post-copy migration. Then it's a image cache image proxy when we just don't save images locally, we just send them on the remote host and just read from memory. Support for socket control messages is when we just send the message into a Unix socket and send credentials or file descriptors with this message. And TCP transitional states, it's actually half closed TCP connections. It's support for TCP sockets. It's last arc, close weight, fin weight 1, fin weight 2 states of TCP sockets. And the big feature, it's nested namespaces. We was going to migrate Virtuoso containers with nested Docker containers. We just did a lot of work to add support for nested namespaces. But now Virtuoso just decided to postpone this feature. So we have a big question. Do we want to merge this feature into the stable branch? Because actually, personally, I don't like how the Creo code was changed when we just add this feature. And probably now we will postpone this feature and we'll try to find other users who are interested in this functionality. And then we will try to understand what we are going to do with this feature. Maybe we will just rewrite some code, maybe we just. So probably now we will just create a separate branch with nested namespaces and we'll try to find some other users. Yeah. And the next topic is what's wrong with Creo Predump. And actually, when we started using Creo in production, we found that Predump doesn't work for all cases. And how it works now? Now we just freeze all processes, then we read procPID page map for all processes, splice memory into pipes, then reset soft duty memory tracker, and resume processes. And then we just send all pages from pipes to a socket to the remote site. And The problem here is that we have a limited number of pipes. A size of each pipe is limited, and memory in pipes are locked, so it cannot be swapped or something like this. And another big problem that we need to inject a parasite code to splice data from process, because the splice system call works only for the current process. So if we have a very big container, it's actually impossible to run Creo predump now, because we probably will meet a situation when we can't create a pipe to splice all memory. So the first way how we can solve this problem, we can use process vm read v system call, but in this case we will need to copy memory into extra user space buffer, because process vm read v just copy memory into the buffer, and then we will need to send this buffer to the socket. So when we in the current scheme, we just splice data to a pipe, and then we just splice data to a socket. We don't copy them to the user space. But this way may be reasonable if we want to do some post-processing. Just, for example, if we want apply some compression for this data before sending them to the remote host. And actually, I suggested another way how to fix this issue. We can add a new system call, process vm splice, and this system call is just a hybrid of process vm read v and vm splice. Actually, it's just vm splice, which can splice memory of another process. So in this case, we don't need to inject a parasite code. So, and this operation is a very heavy operation. And if we remove this operation, we can dump memory iteratively. I mean, we can just create, for example, 10 pipes, and then we just freeze process, splice memory to these pipes, resume process, dump memory, then just do the same and start. We just know where we stopped last time and just do this iteratively. And I sent this system call about a month ago. It was RFC. I just get a few comments, and now I'm going to send a final version. The version which can be merged into the upstream kernel. And the next topic, it's about, sorry?
What will happen if we are trying to post copy?
What do you mean?
So now with post copy, we collect everything into the pipes.
Yeah.
And then
actually,
after everything in the pipes, we're starting the transfers for remote page faults.
When you run post copy, all processes are frozen.
Okay, I see. Sorry.
So this issue is only for predump. Actually, when it was solved for Creo dump, because when we don't need to resume processes before dumping memory, we don't have this issue. So the next topic is about how to migrate containers. And a few years ago, we just created a PHAL tool. It's just a separate tool what used to migrate containers, and it was integrated in OpenVZ, and we actually use it to migrate Virtuoso containers, and it works good for us, but we found that it's maybe maybe better to create a library which can be integrated into other projects. For example, if you use Docker, you use the one tool to do everything. And if we create a library, we just allow developers to use existing infrastructure, how to work with volumes, how to create channels between nodes. For example, if you use Docker Swarm, it's obvious that Docker know how to communicate with different nodes. So we decided that maybe a library will be better, and we just know that Docker, Kubernetes, and LXD are written in Go, so we just create a Go library. It is not a final version, I mean, it's just a prototype, but we suggest to develop this library to, if we want to create, if we want to integrate Creo into Docker or Kubernetes to make online migration.
Oops.
And we need to remember about a few things when we do online migration of Docker containers or Kubernetes containers. The first thing, we need to have exactly the same image on the remote host. I mean, the image, if we just get image from some repository, repository can contain a new version of image, and we have to have ability to get exactly the same image what we use on the source node. And the next thing is network. When we migrate containers, we need to migrate it with the same IP address. And in some cases, it's if we want to migrate network connections, we probably will need to migrate external states, which may be on routers or something like this. I mean, when we have some contract tables or something like this. And the next thing, it's volumes. When we migrate containers, we need to mount all volumes on destination host. And I know that currently Docker doesn't support for many type of volumes, it's impossible to mount volumes on two nodes simultaneously. Concurrently, and for example, in Virtuoso, we just solved this problem by creating snapshots and just create snapshot and create another volume from this snapshot, and we have two equal volumes. And when we migrate container to destination, we just remove volume from a source node. But as far as I know, Docker doesn't have support for volume snapshots, so we probably need to find a way how we can create a copy of volume, or how to mount the copy of this volume, or maybe exactly the same volume on destination host. It's maybe not so easy. So that's all from me. Thank you. Do you have any question?
Okay, so I'm not completely sure how lazy migration works. So basically you transfer the control with a minimal set of pages to the destination site, and then you only transfer pages when there is a fault, or you slowly start to transfer stuff?
You transfer nearly without pages. All the images that Creo creates are transferred before the application is assumed as a destination. And then you start without memory. Every time memory is accessed, there is a page fault that is handled by the lazy pages daemon. and it brings the required pages from the source node. Also, we have some sort of background prefetching for the rest of the memory. And after all the memory is in place, we let it go.
Okay. So basically, there is always some pages that are still not requested, but are being transferred to the source.
Yes.
In your local volume problem, why doesn't the solution that works for, I don't know about what Docker does for HA, but I know Kubernetes HA with replication groups does have a solution for the local volume problem. Why can't you use that?
I'm not sure that I understand what do you mean.
So in replication groups, you're running with what's effectively an HA system. So you have one part of the pod is waiting to take over if the other one fails. And if one fails, you actually have to transfer the local volume to the one that's taking over. Why does that not work for your local volume problem?
Here is one trick that when we dump process, we just freeze all process on the source node. Then we resume all process on the destination node, but we don't kill process on the source node because we may want to roll back to the source node. So we have all process here, and we can't to destroy the mount namespace and everything on the source node. Okay. Then we just migrate to the destination, and we need to restore exactly the same mount namespace with all volumes, and it's actually a reason why we need to mount it twice on both hosts. It's possible to kill all process on the source node, but in case of fail, we can just end in situation when we can't to restore this container on the source node too.
But you don't actually need to kill all the processes, you just need to guarantee that they wouldn't touch the volume. Then you can quietly detach it from underneath them and they'll never know. So if you froze all the processes on the source node and quietly detached the volume and gave it to the destination node, then if there was a problem, you'd still be able to roll back, and if there's no problem, the destination node can just keep it.
So, do you mean that we can just detach volume on the source node?
Well, yes, but it's not easy. So you need to put some type of splitter in front of it that would effectively return an error if it ever wrote to it. But you know if you've put all the processes in the freezer.
So in this case, we will need to get some support for this sort of operation from storage.
Yes. Or actually from the device layer.
Or device level, yeah.
Docker or Kubernetes is a more appropriate place to do the volume manipulations.
He's describing is that we can easily get control of the file descriptor if nothing is using it, because then it becomes detachable. But if you want to preserve a process on one node and a process on the other node, both of which have theoretical access, the reference count within the kernel will not allow you to detach that. That's your specific problem. But if you knew you'd done something to the source node that meant that this thing could never write, so you can satisfy the kernel's guarantee that you'll never touch the mount point, you could detach it by tricking the kernel.
It's
that's what I'm thinking.
For example, if we use XT4, and we just you mount it from source node, and we'll try to mount it on destination node, it may be impossible to prevent situation when the destination host will try to change something on a block device because it will try to, It's much easier to work around this problem with snapshots. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'll talk a bit, really a bit, about memory tracking for iterative container migration. As Andre described, the current state for Creo is a pre-dump that uses a kernel soft dirty mechanism to identify modified pages between the pre-dump iterations. What is important is that each pre-dump iteration is independent of other, and the control for the amount of iterations and the convergence logic is outside the scope of Creo, at least currently. It's p-hole or container engines level. There is a new feature that's being developed, and there are rumors that it will be ready by, well, I don't know, soon. User fault FD write protect it's a mechanism that allows user space to receive notifications on write page faults. It is more robust and flexible than existing soft dirty implementation, and there are what talks also about obsoleting the soft dirty with the user fault FD write protect, pretty much because they just follow the same code path in the page fault handlers on the, in the low level entry code and the handle PT fault itself. So if we are to use user fault FD write protect for Creo, for memory tracking for container migration, I could propose some possible flow, but I'm really to hear your suggestions and comments. It's only at the stage of some ideas that we could implement. So for the first iteration, we start memory tracker daemon, which is a separate process from Creo dump. The Creo pre-dump freezes all the tasks. It creates the pre-dump of the entire memory of the container. Then it registers memory areas with user fault FD from inside the parasite code, because it's pretty much the only place we can do it. Passes the user fault FD, user fault file descriptors to the memory tracker, and unfreezes processes and lets them run. The tracker then monitors notifies each page fault that happens for write, and creates a dirty bitmap, pretty much like QEMU does today for the KVM live migration. So for subsequent iterations, Creo pre-dump will again freeze the tasks. Probably it will request the dirty bitmap from a memory tracker. It will know that way which pages were dirtied between the iterations. And so we are continuing iteratively until the last time when we actually run Creo dump and we completely freeze all the tasks. And at that stage, we dump the remaining pages we'd like to dump. Yes?
How do you ensure atomicity between your freeze task step and you get dirty pages bitmap? Because
it would be better, you know? I hear it twice.
How do you ensure that there's atomicity between you freezing the tasks in the container and the dirty bitmap being up to date? Because the process that's tracking the dirty bitmap is probably running behind. It's just a standard Linux process. It could be several pages behind by the time you ask it for the map.
I don't know yet.
Okay. Add it to your problems.
That's the point we should think about, definitely. But, well, if you freeze a container, you won't get any page faults from that time.
True, but you still need to know the memory tracker is updated properly.
Memory tracker gets notifications immediately upon the page fault. And the faulting process is stopped until the page fault is... But if we inject parasite code to freeze the container's process, it need to be run. if it page faults, I see now what you mean. Okay, so.
Actually, we can.
But, well, the get bitmap will be blocking, right? I mean, dump will not continue until it gets bitmap, and it can't get bitmap until tracker is run. And I need to just synchronize. I just need to synchronize all the, like, drain user fault FD before I can get send the dirty bitmap. Well, with user fault FD, we found it will be pretty much asynchronous anyway, whatever you do. Yeah.
One more question. Why do we need a parasite code to register user fault FD memory regions?
You can't register user fault FD on someone else's memory space, address space.
And how are you going to track new memory areas? I mean, if a process just call mmap, will you need to inject a parasite code to register?
Is it something that needs to be taken care of? So basically, memory tracker can track. No, it can track unmap and remap. It doesn't track mmap.
What do you mean doesn't track mmap?
There are events for mAdvice calls, mRemap, and implicit event for unmap.
So probably if you want to track.
So if the process did the mmap, somebody needs to take care of creation of VMA and they did define that it should be monitored.
So you assume that the memory map process doesn't change after
the. That's what we do for post copy restore, which is quite a logical assumption. So the only way to do it now is to reread the proc bitmaps each time you start new iteration. Yeah. So memory tracker is pretty much simple, right? It receives user fault FDs, monitors, and upon the write notifications, it updates the dirty bitmap. And there probably should be some internal protocol to identify beginning and end of each iteration. And so it is possible, probably, to save the dirty pages at memory tracker itself. I'm not sure it's a good idea, but it's a point that we might want to discuss. We need to decide the communication protocol and mechanism between pre-dump stages, dump itself, and the memory tracker. Are we going pretty much the same way like with lazy pages, or we do something different? And the last but not least, there should be some logic that controls how much iterations should we do, that decides when we are converged enough to run the actual dump and stop with pre-dumping. And this probably better be in p-hole golang library or in the lxd/docker/whatever is using Creo for these purposes. Because like for VMs it was simple, QEMU does it all. In our world it's a bit different. That was all, pretty much. Any more questions?
What do you think, how hard to add ability to register user fault, user fault FD remotely? I mean, if we have a process, we just say that we want to track this.
Like you give
We just know the...
Like you give PID receive file descriptor that creates user fault if the context for that PID. Well, technically we can do it, I think. Politically, I'm not sure. We can talk about it with... I'll surely talk about it with Andrea. I don't know if it will get accepted.
Actually, I don't like the idea to inject parasite code for each crew predump. So I want to avoid this because it's very...
So you'll need kernel support for that anyway.
Yeah.
So as of now, you create user fault file descriptor from inside your address space. And the user fault if the context is attached to your MM. Doing something like process VM read V for user fault if D, which you just give a PID and it creates a user fault if the context for it, probably it's possible.
Memory trigger may be useful for debuggers, for example. And
like
just to track
make it completely standalone application?
Huh?
Like to make it completely standalone application?
I mean, you want to just to investigate. You just create two breakpoints and want to understand what memory was changed from the last breakpoint or the second breakpoint.
Well, it's more about user fault, possible user fault if the usage rather than a container migration, the iterative copying of the memory. But yes, it could be possible for different use cases as well.
I mean that we can use parasite code in Creo, but it's maybe not so good idea to use parasite code from some debuggers or some other application. I mean that if we will have ability to register user fault of D remotely, it may be useful not only for Creo, but for users.
Yeah, I see. I shall look into it. Any more questions? I think we'll conclude the microconference at this point. The last talk we hoped Pavel would give, he couldn't attend, and somebody else won't be able to replace him. So we went a bit ahead of time. And thank you very much.